I think this crowd is having too much fun. Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. I think something exciting must be happening at First Baptist Church. And it truly is. We are so happy that you're here today as we're preparing for this historic service of worship, a service of affirmation and calling. Let me call your attention to some of the announcements in the bulletin. One that is not in the bulletin, the CBF State Assembly will be in Hickory, North Carolina, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend, March the 30th through April the 1st. Susan Sparks, who was here a couple of years ago, will be the keynote speaker. If there's anyone who is interested in going, we have a few that are interested, if you would let me know so that we could coordinate that. Also notice that next Sunday morning at 8:30, our worship enrichment team will meet. We were going to meet a couple of weeks ago, or last Sunday, but we had heavy snow in the area. Oh, and by the way, we missed most of you last Sunday in church, too, just saying. Wednesday night, we welcome Dr. Chris Gamble from the Center for Congregational Health. Chris has a lot of experience in talking to churches that are beginning to welcome a new minister. And he's going to come and share with us from his perspective. And Megan, he's a member of First Baptist Church in Winston-Salem. And guess what? They have a female minister. Yeah. And just Chris is a wonderful person. He's been here before. And I hope you'll take advantage of that. Touching Davidson County with Love. You notice in the insert all of the information. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. Following the worship service today, everyone is invited to come down to the fellowship hall. Our young people are doing a chili cook-off. And even if you don't have prior reservations, you can still come. It is a fundraiser for the young people. But we would love to have you come and enjoy the fellowship following today's service. And also, Palm Sunday is only a few weeks away. And once again, following our community Palm Sunday gathering at the square, the YMCA will be having a lunch with their delicious chicken pie. And Ferry Lane Louder, who always does a great job organizing this, will have tickets. You'll have some downstairs and over the next few Sundays, and we hope that you will take advantage of that. Today's service is going to be such a great celebration, a celebration of a process that has taken us down a providential path. And you notice in the bulletin that we have several members of our search committee who will be given witness today to the process and to the way the Lord led us to Megan Smith. And also, we are very honored today to have our associate, what's your title? Associate Minister Emeritus. I thought only old people got that thing. Okay. Isn't it wonderful to have Tommy up here? And on this day of transition, Tommy Wilson will be a part of our service. We worship the God who continues to call his servants into ministry. Let us worship.
sisters, we gather in the warm embrace of God's love.
We gather in the joy of fellowship in Christ Jesus.
We gather in the power of the Holy Spirit.
We have come to listen to the voice of God.
We have come to encounter the Word calling us into communion with God and His creation.
Let us worship God, who is rich in mercy.
Let us worship God, who makes all things new.
Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love.
It is so good to see you today, and today is just a wonderful day, isn't it? This is just an exciting day for our church. What's that? When's it going to be summer? I wish I knew. When is it? Tomorrow's the first day of spring?
On Monday.
On Monday? Okay, well, that's good, Jasmine. It'll be here before we know it. And, you know, speaking of summer, we're going to have a new minister at our church. How many of you got a chance to meet Megan? Okay, a lot of you did. You know, she's sitting right there. And I told Ella Ray that since Megan was here, we needed to do something really special. Well, you know what we do on special Sundays. We have M&M Sundays. So some of you have M&Ms, but we also have the option of a sucker if you'd rather have that. But since this is Megan's first time with us, don't you think we ought to share some M&Ms with her?
Yeah.
You think? Okay. Ella Ray's already has that covered. And, you know, we have these big kids up here on the front row. You think we ought to share some M&Ms with them?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do that. Megan, this church is all about sharing. If we have something good, we just want to share with others. So we're going to share the M&Ms, but then there's something else. In just a minute, when you go back to your seats, you go downstairs, pay attention, because later in the service, I'm going to get you to come back up front, okay? Because we have something very special that we're going to do later, okay? Okay. Dear God, thank you for special Sundays and for M&Ms. And for all the wonderful things that you give to us every day, thank you for these girls and boys. Jesus loves all of the children. And he loves these children, and we do too. Amen. Okay, let's share these M&Ms. And you know, if we have any left, maybe the big folks might get some after the service. Yep. Yeah, right there. During that hymn, probably. Yep. Yep.
Good morning. It's a glorious day, isn't it? As we gather this morning in the presence of the Lord, whether you're here in our sanctuary, listening on the radio, or streaming the service over the internet, on behalf of the Board of Deacons, I welcome you. If you're visiting with us this morning, we invite you to fill out a visitor's card located in behind the pew in front of you, on the back of the pew in front of you. This will help us stay in touch with you. This is an historic day in the history of First Baptist Church, Lexington. We're glad you're with us. Let us worship God.
A day of celebration, a day of calling. Our scripture reflects the call to all. May we hear as Samuel was called. Now the boy Samuel was serving the Lord unto Eli. The Lord's word was rare at that time, and visions weren't widely known. One day Eli, whose eyes had grown so weak he was unable to see, was lying down in his room. God's lamp hadn't gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the Lord's temple where God's ark was. The Lord called to Samuel. "I'm here," he said. Samuel hurried to Eli and said, "I'm here. You called me." "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go lie down." So he did. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "I'm here. You called me." "I didn't call, my son," Eli replied. "Go and lie down." Now Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, and the Lord's word hadn't yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up and went to Eli and said, "I'm here, you called me." Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down where he'd been. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling just as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." May we hear the word of God, and may we be responsible as we hear the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. What a wonderful day in the life of our church. During the first Skype interview with Megan, I was unable to participate because of a prior commitment I had made to another group. However, the rest of the team members quickly filled me in, and the number one thing I heard was how energetic she is and how much enthusiasm she displays. They were very impressed. After a few more interviews with other candidates, we kept coming back to Megan. And when we narrowed the search down to three, Megan was still there. A few weeks later, we brought her to Lexington because we thought it was only fair that she see the church, the town, and to learn a little bit more about us. Three of us took her out for lunch, to the candy factory, to Conrad and Hinkle, or as Ray refers to it, Clark and Harvey. And we showed her where Lanier Hardware was, though we didn't have time to actually go in. All along the way, we talked about our families, sports, and everything in general. Megan chimed right in with all our conversations, and it was just like we had all known each other all our lives. She was so easy to talk to get to know, and so mature in the way she expressed herself. After our little excursion, we came back to the church and met with some of the members of the personnel committee, whereupon we got down to serious business then, with all our questions, expectations, and everything else. And once again, she rose to the top with her poise and her self-confidence in what she wanted to do with her life. She felt God's calling, and we sensed that. When she told us she wanted to be in a church where she could be a part of the family, where she could just put down roots and hopefully stay 2 or 3 decades, that was music to my ears. Megan has experience with all age groups, from the youngest to the oldest, which is another thing we heard from the Dream Team's findings. And senior adults, get ready. We hope to start some intergenerational events so we can all get to know each other better than we do right now. It can be small get-togethers with just 1 or 2 families, or it might be 15 to 20 people, depending on what you plan to do. Such things as sharing a meal together, cookouts, picnics, day trips to see something interesting. The list goes on and on. The point is, we need the younger generation mixing with the older folks where we learn more about them and what is going on in their lives, and at the same time, they can profit from the experiences we have had along the way. And together, we all learn from each other and grow as one big family. Megan has all the qualifications we were looking for. And as we were told in the beginning by our consultant from CBF, and I quote, "God has the right person already picked out for First Baptist Church Lexington. All you have to do is find them." As a member of the search committee, I truly believe God answered our prayers and steered us in the right direction, leading us to Megan. As you get to know her, I think you will agree we were blessed that our paths crossed. Welcome aboard, Megan. We look forward to many wonderful years together.
In our calling, we turn to Romans, the 10th chapter. "Because if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, and confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. The scripture says, all who have faith in him won't be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives richly to all who call on him. All who call on the Lord's name will be saved. So how can they call on someone they don't have faith in? And how can they have faith in someone they haven't heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the good news." And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. We as the chosen of God now and have been on a Lenten journey. Lent is a time to take time to let the power of our faith story take hold of us. God, you give much, but you ask more. You make us in your image and likeness, but you ask that we show the world we are your children. You pour love into our hearts, but you ask that we love others. Lent brings us to a time of repentance and prayer and discovery. May our Lenten journey and our time together as the body of Christ be a time of renewal and anticipation for all that you, O God, are about to do in our lives and in this community of faith. In every age, God, you've chosen servants to speak your word and lead your people. We give thanks for those who have and will ignite passions for discovery, who will open new worlds in us and around us and beyond us. Give to your servants the gifts of the Spirit that will enable them to be faithful disciples in all that they do and are about. And renew in all of us your calling so that we may know the very presence of Christ. We continue to worship. We continue to praise you, God, in remembrance of what you have done for us in the past and in celebration of what you continue to do for us in the present and anticipation of what you promise to do for us in our future. May we, with our hearts, love you, with our minds, seek you, with our whole selves, serve you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who calls all of us to serve and to minister. It is good to be in your house, O God, and to be your servants. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Brian Walker, and I was also a member of the search committee for our associate minister. I think my colleagues from the committee would join me in saying that a search process and this search process was a process of mind, heart, and spirit. Now, we came together as a committee, a diverse group of people, each of us bringing our own set of expectations and anticipations about both the process and about the person that we would be looking for, the qualifications, the personality traits, the background, the skills. But each of us had thoughts and ideas and feelings both in terms of head, heart, and spirit. You know, in some ways, a search for a minister is like any other job-filling search that you might be involved in with any organization. You look for certain qualifications, certain credentials, certain experiential benchmarks, certain educational background items. And those I would classify as parts of the head part of the search. And when we talked to Megan, it was quite clear that she had all of the mind attributes we were looking for. As we talked about her and talked with her, some of the reflections we had were, you know, sharp, thoughtful, insightful. Someone who, in terms of intellectual approach to ministry and to life, demonstrated maturity beyond her years. And if this were just a regular job search, that might have been all we needed. But we were searching for a minister. And that's where you get into issues of heart and spirit. for me personally, I kind of divide my decision-making process evenly with respect to a lot of areas of my life between the head and the heart. If you've ever done the Myers-Briggs, I'm right on the borderline with that, between thinking and feeling as part of my decision-making process. So yes, the intellectual piece, my mind was right there early on. But what about the heart? Well, the heart felt great also very early on, and it only grew over time as our ability to interact with Megan increased during the process. As Barbara mentioned, enthusiasm and energy present from the beginning, a warmth, approachableness, the kinds of characteristics that make you think this is the kind of person who will be able to make connections with people quickly and easily and forge long-lasting, meaningful relationships. That's the kind of feeling you want to have from someone who's going to be in the people business as a minister. And we felt that early and often with respect to Megan. There was a warmth. There was a heartfelt approachability and likableness to this person in Megan Smith. And that also might be enough. But this is for a position that will serve as someone who speaks to our soul as a minister. And so we also had to consider issues of the Spirit. We were sensitive to matters of the Spirit as a committee. From day one, we felt like we were acting as instruments of divine providence, and we wanted to be open to that and let God guide us in our deliberations and in our process. We felt the Spirit. It was moving among us throughout our entire, I can't remember how long it was, Ray, but about a year, right? Yeah, throughout the year. We felt the Spirit moving among us with respect to Megan. And you've heard Ray talk over the last several weeks and months about some of the ways that the Spirit spoke to us, saying, this might be the one. We were open to that, and we felt it when the time came, finally, for us to sit amongst ourselves and to make that decision that all search committees eventually want to make. We looked to the mind, the heart, and the Spirit, and we felt them all leading us to you, Megan Smith.
Well, good morning. The youth choir is going to come forward now and grab their folders and get in place. I wanted to let you know the song they're singing today is This Wildlife by David Burroughs. And this was the theme song to this past summer's Passport 2016. And they would very much like for you to sing the chorus, the last chorus with them. And it starts off with a chorus, and you'll hear it four times before it's your turn. And I'll stand up and cue you when it's time for you to sing, okay?
Will not worry.
As a member of the search committee, one thing that we were looking for in a new associate minister was not only experience with youth, but with children. And I have a few. So on Megan's resume, she was a minister to youth and children. She was has been a children's ministry assistant. She's worked at Passport. She's even was a teacher at her home church in the Child Development Center there. All good things to look at. When we sat down the first time to look at resumes, Ray brought this one to us as a search committee and said that when he had talked to her supervisor at CBF, supervisor had only nice things to say about her, said she was wonderful with kids. She even was a babysitter to his kids. And I heard babysitter. And I was ready to vote, but we had a few more resumes. When Megan came to visit us in December, she had the chance to look around Lexington, as Barbara said, but she also had the chance to have a tea party with Ella Ray, which I think Ella Ray enjoyed. And, you know, if Ella Ray said Megan's a good thing, then you have to go with her word on that. And yesterday, Megan had the chance to meet with a lot of the children of the church. We had just a little hour get together with some crafts, and they got to ask Megan some questions. And she talked with the kids everything about Disney, to Pokemon. And Megan, if you can explain how to play Pokemon, that'd be very helpful to me. I don't understand it. So I'm excited to have Megan come this summer and meet, you know, and work with all ages of the church, especially the children.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear God, the tithes and offerings we're about to give is an expression of our faith and support for the love and devotion we have for our church and for you, Father. We do this with gladness and sincerity. May we give not to become richer, though, but simply because we have so much love for you and for all you do for us. I pray that all offerings given today are given out of love. Also, Father, today we welcome Megan Smith into our church family. And as we welcome Megan into our church family, we also welcome her into our community. Megan will soon learn about our town's history with barbecue, pimento cheese, furniture, textiles, famous artists, and a community ready to pitch in when someone is in need. We are a proud and diverse community who is eager to accept and befriend those who choose to live, work, and worship here and proudly call Lexington, North Carolina their home. Father, we are very excited knowing that we are going to have this young lady as a member of our church family. She who is eager to share her love of your teachings with us. And inasmuch as we as a congregation chose Megan, Megan also chose First Baptist and its members to share with us her talents and her wisdom through her spiritual lessons and guidance we will soon be receiving. We ask you, Father, to assist us in helping to assure that Megan's journey from Alabama and transitioning to our community, which now becomes her community, and our church, which now becomes her church, is as smooth and accepting as possible. I am reminded of one of your most beautiful creations when you placed the back of your right hand on the right side of your earth, and you swept your right hand across the sky to form an arch, and you placed it palm down on the left side of your earth. And as your right hand was sweeping across the sky, an array of amazing pastel colors were extracted from your fingertips. You gave it a beautiful name. You named it a rainbow. Many of us have been led to believe there's a pot of gold, a reward at the end of your rainbows. I truly believe there is. And I believe the end of that rainbow is touching down on First Baptist Church in Lexington, North Carolina this morning, as you have rewarded us with a young, new associate pastor, which signals a new chapter in our long and distinguished history. It is indeed a new beginning for our church, and we will be richer for this. And so now, Father, we are going to honor you with our tithes and offerings for the love you bestow upon each of us, each and every day, in each and every way, as you have truly rewarded us this week. We gladly repay you by giving from our grateful hearts. Thank you, dear Father, for our reward. You have truly blessed us. Amen.
There are great moments of worship such as this when we realize that we are a part of something much greater than ourselves And we have experienced this reality in the journey of calling. In ways large and small, God has reminded us that He has been there and that He has been in control. But now that this calling is almost complete, I realize that God has been laying the foundation for this calling for a long, long time. I made the statement a couple of weeks ago that this calling started the Sunday that Tommy read his letter of resignation. But I was wrong. In many ways, this calling started not 1 year ago, but 100 years ago, on May the 7th, 1917, when a baby boy was born in Bassett, Virginia. When he was 3 years old, his father purchased a furniture plant in Lexington, and the family moved to Lexington, North Carolina, where they became active and faithful members of First Baptist Church. Growing up in this church, this young boy heard the powerful preaching of the gospel. He studied the Word in Sunday school. He was influenced by the faithful witness of Sunday school teachers, leaders, and deacons, and he was nurtured in a loving Christian family. And God was working in his life. And in 1935, he announced to this congregation that he heard the voice of God calling him into Christian ministry. In September of 1935, the First Baptist Church of Lexington affirmed that call by granting Harry M. Philpott a license to preach the gospel. After graduating from Washington and Lee University, Harry served as a chaplain in the United States Navy in the Second World War. And then after the war, he continued his education at Yale Divinity School. And while he was there, he actually worked on the translation of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I find that amazing. By the way, Megan, this is my RSV, my legendary duct tape Bible, that it takes a community to help me keep up with it. Dr. Philpott's career took him in the educational arena, and in 1965, he became the president of Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama, and he joined the First Baptist Church of Auburn. Harry Philpott was more than just a church member. He became a powerful and influential leader. A year before, Dr. Philpott became the president of Auburn University, George Wallace stood in the schoolhouse door of the University of Alabama to prevent black students from enrolling. Only after a federal order did he step down. But the doors of Auburn University were open to students of all races, not by the federal government, but by Harry Philpott. And under his leadership, the university became fully integrated in all areas, including athletics, which was a big, big deal in the Southeastern Conference. But this attitude of inclusiveness was not limited to the university. It was Harry Philpott who led his church to overcome discrimination of every form. The attitude of openness and inclusiveness extended to all areas of the church's life. At a time when most Baptist churches limited the role of women, First Baptist Church of Auburn opened the door for women in leadership and ministry. First Baptist Auburn is Megan's home church. She grew up in a church that encouraged young women to seek God's calling and placed no limitations on that calling. If you heard Megan in the Sunday school hour, she said it was not until she got to seminary that she realized that having women as ministers in Baptist churches was not the norm in every Baptist church. And that was in large part because of the leadership and the influence of Dr. Harry Philpott. And you know, that is the message that we want to send to all of our girls and all of the boys in this congregation. That you can dream great dreams. You can be the person that God is calling you to be. And there is no restriction on your calling. God is calling women into ministry, into the pulpit ministry, into every arena of ministry. And this church affirms you and supports you and encourages you to fulfill that calling. Do I hear an amen? Amen. But the youth ministry of First Baptist Church of Auburn also played a vital role in Megan's life, and it enabled her to define and to express that calling. It was through the youth ministry that Megan met an amazing couple, Virgil and Donna Starks. Virgil was the assistant athletic director at Auburn University, and they were volunteers in the youth ministry. Virgil had also been a Sunday school teacher when Megan was a child. Their oldest daughter, Carolyn, was in the youth group and a good friend of Megan's sister, and their youngest daughter, Anna, was part of the youth group when Megan was serving as interim youth minister. The Starks family have been very influential in Megan's life. But here's what you need to know. Virgil and Donna Starks may not have been members of First Baptist Church if that church had not been open and inclusive, for you see, they're African American. But First Baptist Church of Auburn does not discriminate. As the Apostle Paul stated, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And that attitude of openness, equality, and inclusiveness in Auburn goes back to the one who opened the doors of Auburn University to all of God's children, and he opened the doors of his church. I spoke to Tripp Martin, who is the pastor of First Baptist Auburn. And by the way, Megan was actually on the search committee that brought him to that church. And he described Harry Philpott as being the patron saint of our church. It was Harry Philpott who felt the calling into ministry here in this congregation. He lived out his calling at First Baptist Auburn. But it's because of his calling and his conviction that all are one in Christ that Megan Smith felt the calling into ministry. And now she is here today in Harry Philpott's home church to begin living out her calling. Life is full of holy connections, is it not? But there's more. Virgil Starks grew up in my hometown. He graduated from the same high school that I did. My youngest brother John's best friend was Virgil Starks. And Virgil was the best man in my brother's wedding, a wedding that I officiated. Virgil was an amazing man. He became a father figure to so many of the athletes. They called him at Auburn the definition of love. On the 8th day of November 2008, it was Senior Day. Jordan-Hare Stadium was full with over 80,000 fans. On senior day, they announce the name of all the senior players, and they run out onto the field, and they're greeted by a mother, father, grandmother, someone in their family. But one of the football seniors, Chris Evans, did not have any family members in attendance. Chris had lived a difficult life. He had overcome many obstacles. He knew that he was going to run on the field when his name was called, and he was prepared to stand by himself without any family, because so often in his young life he had had to stand alone. But he said his name was called. He ran out of the tunnel onto the field, and he looked up, and there was Virgil Starks standing there with a big grin. And he greeted him with a big bear hug, and he told him how proud he was of him. In fact, he had been so influential in his life that Chris Evans wore number 59, which was the same number that Virgil wore playing college football. And there's a wonderful picture of Virgil Starks standing beside Chris Evans, and they're both grinning from ear to ear. It was the last picture that was ever made of my brother's best friend and Megan's mentor. After the game was over, he got in his car to drive home, and he never made it. They found him. He had had a heart attack, and he was in his car on the side of the road. You remember that scene from It's a Wonderful Life, when George and the angel Clarence, who was trying to get his wings, were in the cemetery? And George is beginning to realize that all these terrible things in life would have happened if it had not been for his life. And Clarence the angel said, "Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives." I know of two lives that have had an impact on Megan. One directly, one indirectly. Virgil Starks and Harry Philpott. And Virgil, from my hometown, my brother's best friend, Harry, from this church, who felt the calling of God right here in Lexington. Life is full of holy connections, is it not? And today we welcome Megan, whose life will touch so many lives in this place. We are inviting Megan not just to be our associate minister, but Megan, when you run out of that tunnel, you don't have to worry about no family members being close by, because this is your family. And we will all be there to greet you with a big hug and a smile. We're standing on holy ground today. We're here to affirm the call of God, the calling of God into ministry, for that same calling that Harry Philpott experienced in 1935, that same calling that Megan Smith experienced in 2005, is the calling that we find in the New Testament church. And there was in the church of Antioch many prophets and teachers. There was Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they set them apart. Life is full of holy connections. And we, standing on holy ground, are about to complete the connection of this providential calling. Kathy Hinkle was the chair of our search committee, and she will come and share with us now.
What a beautiful service. Christian greetings to all of you in the First Baptist Church Lexington family, both those of you who are in the sanctuary here each week and those of you who join us as a part of our radio listening family, even though they're close to not being on anymore, are they? It has been a tremendous honor and pleasure for me to serve as the chair of the Personnel Committee and Search Committee through this process of calling our new associate minister. When I was invited to become a member of the Personnel Committee 3 years ago, I never dreamed that I would be able to be part of something so special. It's important for us to remember that we're not replacing Tommy. Tommy, we love you. But that we're calling a new member to our church family and to the leadership of First Baptist Lexington. When the Personnel Committee spoke with Megan in December, we asked her how long she hoped to be with us if she was called to this position. Her response was, "I want this to become my home and stay here for a couple of decades." So we asked her to repeat that because we weren't sure we heard correctly. So we're glad we did. When we began the process and had the search committee in place, one of the first things that we did was to agree on our procedure for the calling. It was the consensus of the entire group that we would not call a minister unless it was a totally unanimous decision. We knew there could be no doubt whatsoever that we were calling the right candidate, especially one that wants to be with us a couple of decades. The process we decided on was this. The search committee accepted and reviewed resumes. If we were in total agreement of those, we interviewed the candidates whose resume we chose. After the interviews, if we were still in total agreement that those were good candidates, we passed those on to Ray and asked him to interview the candidate. At that point, if he agreed, and of course Joyce, because she's been a big part of the process as well, if they agreed the candidate was a good fit, then we ask us to invite the candidate here and meet with the personnel committee. Only after the personnel committee interviewed, and we were still unanimous the whole way through, only then would we present a candidate to the diaconate for their approval. If their decision was also unanimous, we felt that we could present that candidate for you. Megan handled all this like a champ. From the first time I spoke with her on the phone, to the first interview we conducted via Google Hangout, to the day she spent here in December with us, she always remained confident and professional. But at the same time, she showed us her great personality. Megan, you were calm throughout the interview, even knowing there were eight of us and one of you. When you came here in December and we invited you into the church parlor, where we had many more committee members, you were still calm and collected, and you impressed all of us with your experiences, your compassion, your interest in helping others, and your theology. A few of us had the opportunity to spend some informal social time with Megan when she was here in late December. It was then that we discovered a young lady who knew how to have fun and could relate to a variety of individuals on a personal level. We covered the town, from the bistro at Childress to the Bob Timberlake Gallery and everywhere in between. We had a young mother, a retired empty nester, and a very young senior adult. She did not cringe at my driving. She was not afraid to eat Margaret Ann's food when we went to dinner. We had a good afternoon. Megan related to all of us. I hope your mother enjoyed your candy from the candy factory. And when you bring them here, you'll have to get steaks and pimento cheese from the little store on the square. We knew those wouldn't travel very safely back to Alabama that day, so we didn't let her get any of that while she was here. This weekend, all of us have had an opportunity in smaller groups to spend time with Megan. I look forward to all of us having the opportunity to spend even more time with her and to get to know better the young lady that our committee members have known have grown to know and love throughout the process. Again, Megan, welcome to your new home at First Baptist Lexington.
As we approach the sacred moment of calling, let us pause for a prayer of thanksgiving. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for centuries you have called your servants to the work of ministry. And your providential guidance has been evident in this calling in ways large and small. For this past year, you have been faithful to lead and guide us as a church as we have searched for a new minister. And we realize now that your divine plan has been at work much longer than we ever imagined. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your vision is greater than our vision. And your infinite love is beyond our comprehension. And so we stand on the threshold of the fulfillment of this calling. And we pause with hearts of thanksgiving and praise for your faithfulness. Make us worthy of the calling we have experienced. And we thank you for your servant Megan, for the calling to ministry that she has received. We thank you for her family and their unconditional love, their support, and their example. We thank you for her home church and the many ways that they have nurtured this calling and the encouragement they have provided. We thank you for her mentors, her professors, and her colleagues who have provided wisdom, counsel, and direction. And now we stand on holy ground for a calling that started 100 years ago is about to find completion. May we with great joy accept this awesome responsibility as faithful disciples as we affirm the providence of Almighty God and the holy act of calling God's servant to ministry. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.